If one of you cheated, would marriage survive it? I'd say over, probably. Let's say, for example.
I guess I'm surprised you didn't also say over. First of all, now you're talking about your cheating? Because, like, if I cheated on you, that would be 100% over.
All right, welcome back, guys, to another episode. This is Nancy Anderson, Max Anderson. We are a little under the weather today. I'm recovering from the big C word. Max is too. You're a little ahead of me, though. So I just got an IV, which is why I'm all bandaged up here. I'm just exhausted from it, like, in every possible way. Like, it, like, just takes the wind out of your sails, I feel like. And I'm also over it. Yeah, I'm sick of talking about it. But also, like, why does it take so long to get over it? Like, the fatigue is, like, so serious, I feel like.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Moving on.
I just black it out.
Yeah.
It's like it never happened.
It, like, ruined our entire trip. We went on, like, a couple's trip, which we haven't been on in, like, 7 years. We went to Vegas. We mentioned it last podcast. We were going to be going to Vegas together. We had all these, like, really fun plans. And then we literally were in bed the entire time with COVID and ruined the whole trip, really. So thanks so much.
Yeah. It was like
to whoever made that virus.
It's like, got a first fun dinner, or our first dinner was fun, and the last dinner was fun.
But even that first dinner, you were not feeling 100%. Like, you were starting to feel.
Oh yeah, I was really sick, but, like, still, it was like, it was still fun. Like, I was good enough to go. But, like, Saturday.
And I didn't realize it was COVID, by the way. So it's not like we were, like, out and about, like, oh, you know, we thought that it was just, like, nothing, you know, and then we realized later on, like, oh shit.
Yeah, we get hit pretty hard for being pretty healthy.
That's what I don't get. I don't get that sick, you guys. Like, I've had COVID twice. I don't get that sick where I'm like, oh my God, I'm, like, so ill. It's just, it's the most annoying level of sick, to where it just drains your battery so much that you're essentially worthless. Like, you're just so tired and you've done nothing, you know? That's, it's just so annoying. It's so annoying to me. It's not like I'm like, oh my God, it's in my lungs. Oh my God, I need to go to the hospital. It's never like that, for me at least. It's just.
It's draining.
So draining. Yeah, like no virus I've ever had before.
Yeah, way shorter this time though, which is nice. I guess all things
that's
relative.
That's true. That's what Dr. Alice said.
Way better than the
first. It's just going to get milder and milder with every strain or like whatever. But.
Let's hope so.
I just hope that, like, we've learned a lesson for this, like, better safety lab protocols to not let that shit get out. Some sort of extra layer of security or something. Should we just dive into our Q&A today?
Oh, yeah. What we got? Got any good ones? That was a killer picture, by the way. Is that from the new shoot?
Yeah. You like it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like it?
Yeah. You like it? here's a good one. You radiate confidence, Nancy. Were you always that way, or did you grow into it? That's a great question. That's a really great question. I think it's like a mixture. I think, I don't know. I mean, I always, when I was little, I always, like, was such a dreamer. Like, and I really believed that whatever I dreamt up in my mind that I could, like, actually do. So in that way, like, I've always been, like, confident and, like, I have always been a self-believer. Like, and my motivation really for so long was just to prove everyone wrong, to prove everyone that, like, oh, you think I'm not smart enough? I'm not capable enough, I'm not athletic enough, like, I'll fucking show you, like, I'll outwork every motherfucker out here to, like, get to the goal and prove you wrong. So in that way, I think I've always been pretty confident, but I don't think it was until I met Max, which is really, they say that you have to, like, learn to love yourself first before someone else can love you. But I would say that for me personally, that didn't happen that way. Like, I didn't have like a dad that was around like a ton when I was growing up, and I dated a bunch of fucking dickheads in high school and college that just cheated on me and were just treating me like absolute fucking trash. And I put up with that, you know what I mean? Because I didn't love myself enough to be like, fuck you, motherfucker, you know, bye. So I tolerated a lot of that. And I got my heart broken over and over and over and over and over again, to the point where I basically went celibate and I just swore off all men, didn't have sex for years. And this was like when I was early 20s. And then the only people I would date is people that I was using. So really wouldn't recommend it. I went to like, okay, swearing off all men, fuck men, I hate them, never going to get married. And the only time I'm ever going to date someone is if I'm using them for something, which is not really, you know, I guess if you can't beat them, join them is what I was thinking.
Some women never get out of that cycle.
Yeah. And then, so that's the cycle I was in when I met Max. And then he really showed me like what it was like to feel like unconditionally loved for probably the very first time in my whole entire life, including my parents. And I think that taught me to love myself. And then that's when I think I started to be really confident in like every avenue of life. So it was really Max that I think, you know, in certain ways I had it growing up for like how to make money, professionalism, athletics, all that stuff. But the whole like I'm worthy of being loved, I never felt worthy of being loved by someone else until I met Max. That's, I think, very, very
sweet. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's interesting because you're, I didn't expect you to say that. And I think that it's interesting because like you basically just kind of changed the source of your confidence through that story. It was like first, and it's kind of like I was kind of drawing some analogies to mine because like I'm too, or used to be very fueled by doubt, like fueled by people telling you can't do something. And whether it's like explicitly telling, like I think in your case is a lot of explicit, like, hey, you can't do this, don't do this. I am fueled, not so much now, but like previously by like so much doubt. And like till this day, it's like, no, everyone believed me. Like, you know what I mean? I didn't surround myself with people who were like, you can't, like, you can't do it. You're not good enough. Like everyone around me was like really pumping me up. That's why they kind of stayed around me. But I was still like in my head, it's like, oh, like you can't do that. You're too dumb or you're too lazy or whatever it is. It's interesting. But I don't feel that anymore. I feel like after, you know, we kind of met, it's like, you know, we're on the same team. And it's like, I can, you know, just by being myself or, you know, being yourself around me, it makes me want to be more than. And it's kind of like this, like, not like one upping, but it's like this almost like self-fulfilling prophecy where it's like, you know, you kind of believe it to achieve it type nonsense.
Yeah. I think the whole like fake it till you make it thing, there's definitely some truth there. Like I think I definitely have done that at times too. Is like, you know, like especially like professionally, like when I used to have to go out in the beginning and like get on a mic and like teach a big group or public speak or whatever. Like, I mean, I've always been a performer like in that way. Like I like it, but that didn't mean that I wasn't nervous as shit when I had to like do it, or when I had to like really start being motivational on a mic when I was teaching classes. When you're in front of a group of 40, 50, 60 people and you're trying to motivate all of them at the same time in the moment and you're not following a script, it's like coming from your heart. I mean, it is nerve-wracking, you know, because like you want to like give them everything that they need, you know, and you want to have this like really inspirational experience for them. But, you know, you're like nervous. Like, am I going to fuck it up? Like, am I going to try to say this analogy and it's going to come out all wrong? Am I going to like try to like get them all like excited and I'm going to like look dumb, or they're going to be like, this bitch is like annoying, she's not motivating, you know? So I think at the beginning of my career, there was like a bit of that. And then, you know, it's true. Like practice makes perfect. You know, you just, after getting on a mic, you know, 10,000 times, this is like now I feel more comfortable on a mic than I do off the mic.
Well, it's something you're really passionate about, I think, which is key. In order for you to be confident, you have to find something you're passionate about first.
Yeah.
You need to be confident. That's
true.
Without a fault.
That's
like,
true. Yeah.
I was the same way when I discovered like sports. I was always like really insecure about my weight or like whatever it is. I was never really insecure about my intellectual ability, like the opposite way, being like a little too like intelligent in terms of like athletes, like being made fun of for getting good grades.
Yeah.
But like when you find something that you're really passionate about, like you kind of, it like attaches itself to you and becomes like part of who you are as a person. And it's like this kind of like alter ego that you can kind of, you know.
Like, yeah. I was watching, you know, I've been doing the oxygen chamber quite a bit. There's a study that came out on hyperbarics and you will lengthen your telomeres by like 30% or something if you do like 20 or 30 sessions within a certain amount of time for like 60 to 90 minutes or whatever. So whenever I find a piece of research like that where I like think that this is really legit, sometimes I'll try to do that exact thing, same thing in my real life to like yield the same results that the study found. So that's something that I recently committed to. So I've been spending a lot of time in an oxygen chamber. And when you're in there, you can watch Netflix. And that's all the only option they have. You can't take your phone in. You can't take anything in electronic wise. So my only option is watch Netflix. And I don't watch Netflix. I don't watch TV. I don't really have an interest in watching like anything that's like fake or scripted or whatever. It's just, it seems like I can feel like they're acting. I don't know. It's not my thing. So I was watching like documentaries, and I was watching a Tony Robbins documentary, which like, I'm not saying he's like anything like legit or whatever, but he did say this one thing where he was like, basically when he was starting his career, this like inspirational speaker, this coach or whatever, he sort of just created this character for himself, and he just started playing that character, and he just faked it until he made that character a real thing, which is the brand and the coaching that he offers now. And I resonated with that quite a bit. Like, you know, I wanted to become this thing, this trainer, this inspirational person, this like whatever. And I wasn't that person really yet, but I knew what the vision was and I knew what I wanted the end goal to be. So then I just started like living it as if I was it long enough to actually become it. And then I was it. And then it was like, that was my life. You know what I mean? I don't know. It was just, I really resonated with him saying that, like, you know, I wasn't anything, but I knew what I wanted to be. So then I just started playing that character. And then before I knew it, I brought it into reality, you know, and I believe there's really like legs to that. So there's an interesting question here that kind of relates to Wild Wednesday. And I was thinking maybe we could answer it. If one of you cheated, would marriage survive it or would it be automatically over? I'd say over probably, but I think it depends. Like, let's say, for example, I was.
This is a hypothetical.
Yeah. Let's say, for example.
I guess I'm surprised you didn't also say over. But okay. But yeah, let's.
Well,
let's
I just. I never. First of all,
now you're talking about you're cheating. Because, like, if I cheated on you, that would be 100% over.
No, listen.
Okay. All right.
I don't think anything's black and white, and there's an exception to every rule. So like, that's why I can't say it would be over 100%. Like if I was separating myself from Max, which we have been through times in our relationship where I'm just not that into him for whatever reason. You know what I mean? Like I'm going through something myself, like mentally or emotionally, and I kind of keep him at arm's length, or we're not having as much sex. His needs aren't getting fulfilled. And I think if that continues long enough in a relationship, then it's a bit of human nature to just try to get your needs filled. You know, if your needs aren't being met by your spouse and your spouse isn't willing to like communicate or meet you in the middle or take accountability for what they're not contributing to meet your needs, then I think at a certain point, you know, a human is only a human. You need to get your needs met, you know? And I think, for example, men typically are much more sexual than women. Like, I feel like I do like to have, you know, sex and stuff. It's fun and enjoyable, but I feel like I could go a really long period of time and still be a happy, healthy, normal individual without having sex or without having an orgasm. I don't think that most men are like that. So I don't know. Maybe if I was, you know, withholding needs from him that he needed met, and I wasn't listening when he was telling me he needed those needs met, and then he went and got those needs met somewhere else. And then I don't know. I mean, I think I'm very receptive.
Like I'm just saying, I'm
I feel
so
like I'm very receptive. So like
okay.
if you told That's me a, your needs weren't being met, I feel like I would put a big effort forward to meet your needs.
Yeah, but that's not what the question was. The question was, if I cheated on you or you cheated on me, would it be over?
It would probably be over because I feel like I try to meet your needs.
Yeah.
But I don't think all relationships are like that. Like yesterday, there was a lot of cheating posts that were coming in for Wild Wednesday. And there were a lot of people writing in like, hey, my husband cheated, but like I forgave him and we went to counseling and we figured out our root issues. And, you know, we should normalize forgiveness in some cases. And I think that that's true. I think that, you know, we're human, you know, and sometimes humans make mistakes. And I don't think every relationship has great communication. And sometimes that does take a big event for you to realize that you need to work on your communication. I don't know. I don't think that we are in that situation. Like, I think if something happened, like if Red Outfit, like somehow lured you into the bathroom and gave you a blowjob, well, that it would be over, you know, because you know, you could have came home and I would have given you a blowjob, you know?
But that's not, I think, this is actually a really interesting topic for discussion.